Let us begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few short words about the worship this evening. Some of us are a bit hesitant to worship in this fashion, basically because the non-audience participation has a way of creating the sort of climate where the audience feels entertained as opposed to participating in worship. Now, if you can somehow prepare yourself psychologically for a sermon that has a multifaceted approach, I think that you would have had a worship experience. It's kind of biased in the sense that it's a mixture of two traditions which are both salutary and at the same time threatening. The tradition of the young sounds the same, and the sounds of black people. The readings and the songs all pack powerful messages, prophetic ones, for those of us who are attempting to try and live out the mandates of the Master in the time of crisis. Revolution. No other word dominates the discussion of change as does this one. Those of us who have enjoyed the Lutheran tradition over the years would probably understand it as reformation or reformation. The call of revolution has been with the world for over two centuries. And it has a reminiscence that reaches much deeper into history even than the two centuries that it's been around. But it has taken a new turn since World War II, I believe, with the refinement of weapons, technology, and a multiplicity of electronic devices. Whereas in the past, established governments and classes had some advantage over revolutionary forces, today the gap is quite vast. The powers that are able to engage in surveillance unimagined earlier, and the powers that can control the media and thus buy off discontent and spread a sort of vicious propaganda about those who would engage in same, and who are indulging themselves full time, not in positive programs, but in a positive style of communicating the brokenness of man, and by the same token, the hope that man has in the God-man Jesus. Despite the rising of the stakes and the increase of the odds, many of us who recognize the emerging garrison state or the neo-fascist tendencies of our country must preach, must act, and must witness to those conditions. These are not feeble attempts, but these are attempts which are blessed of the Lord, if you will, and which will receive ad infinitum His good grace. We'll share with you, first of all, a sort of updated court trial, the garrison state at its best, if you will. The asking of the question is inevitable. Whites want to know whether black power and the activities of black people are appropriate responses to their bigotry. It is indeed interesting that they, the oppressors, should ask this question. Since whatever response blacks make is nothing but a survival reaction to white oppression, It is time for whites to realize that the oppressor is in no position whatever to define the proper response to enslavement. He is not the slave, but the enslaver. And if the slave should choose to risk death rather than submit to the humiliating orders of the master, then that is his right. Bigger Thomas, in Richard Wright's Native Son, demonstrates this choice when interrogated by a white policeman who wanted him to confess to raping a white girl. "Come on now, boy, we've treated you pretty nice, but we can get tough if we have to, see? It's up to you. Get over there by the bed and show us how you raped and murdered that girl." "I didn't rape her." "Oh, come on, boy. What have you got to lose now? Show us what you did." "I don't want to." "You have to." "I don't have to." "We'll make you." "You can't make me do nothing but die." Conversely kicking his white oppressor, the oppressed wrestled with God in prayer. And "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" is just one of the examples of escapism from confronting the sort of racial bigotry and hatred which marked and still marks our society today. Swinglow Sweet Chariot is just one of them. But then there is an expression from the black condition which shows unequivocally that the black man did fight with somebody and he did wrestle with somebody. That somebody was God. And he wrestled with God vis-a-vis the black spiritual. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Because of the cheapness with which his life was regarded. The slave was a tool, a thing, a utility, a commodity, but he was not a person. He was faced constantly with the imminent threat of death, of which the terrible overseer was the symbol. And the awareness that he, the slave, was only chattel, property, as it is today, was an awareness which defies the law of logic. Most of us have probably seen the recent issue of Look magazine, where for the first time in the history of warfare, we see the faces of the men who've died. The faces of the men are faces of young men, virile and full of life. And the faces, at least the ones expressed in these pictures, obviously taken when there was no thought of dying, or at least the thought of dying was somewhere parked in the cranium where it did not affect the faces, starts to bother some of us. And the sort of trilogy that we must write and we must say and we must sing about is the fact that people, all people, black and white and yellow and brown and red, are no more than chattel, totally expendable, and they are somehow reduced to statistics. So many of us were gotten by them, and we got many, many more of them. The sort of apathy associated with death, especially the assassination of figures in this country who at least try and bring to realization the American dream, causes poets to describe those of us who grieve as people who are over-addicted with eight-day grief. We cry for 8 days and it's all over, and death somehow has lost some of its fear, but for the wrong reason. Death is going to lay its cold, icy hands on me, Lord. Death is going to lay his cold, icy hands on me, Lord. One morning I was walking alone, I heard a voice and I saw no man. Said, go in peace and sin no more, your sins forgiven and your soul set free. One of these mornings, it won't be long, you look for me and I'll be gone. Where? Why? Gone. Where?
Where have all the flowers gone?
Because it enslaves the black man, but because it enslaves man. And we're all the slaveholders in this land, men of color, and the slaves, white men. I would be just as thorough and just as uncompromising and just as much an abolitionist as I now am. But whatever and whenever I may see a being in the form of a man, enslaved by his fellow man without respect to his complexion, I shall lift up my voice to plead his cause against all the claims of his proud oppressor. And I shall do it not merely from the sympathy which man feels toward suffering man, but because God, the living God whom I dare not disobey, has commanded me to open my mouth for the dumb and to plead the cause of the oppressed. The viciousness of the shackles on the hands and feet of men is only replaced by something more vicious and more diabolical, the enslavement of a man's mind. All men. Listen to more questions, if you will. More questions. How many times?
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? And how many seas must a white dove sail before she
Douglas said it best. Those who expect change without agitation are very much like those who expect to have good crops without agitating the soil, or those who would expect rain without thunder and lightning.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. From writers and critics who prophesize your pain, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in Spain. And it's no telling who that is. Are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The old now will later be last, and the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly
forgotten that not all songs and spirituals are otherworldly and compensatory. That's one example. Some are protesting and some are quite rebellious in character, comparing our enslavement now to our enslavement then, i.e. slavery in this country. The words from some unknown poet: rebellious, uncompromising, downright anarchistic, if you will. Go down, Moses, and you tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
Go down, Moses, we know.
comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.
Everybody gonna pray on the very last day when they hear that bell ring the word away. Everybody gonna pray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.